Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have Elijah Campbell hitting those switches as we begin every show. Let you know what we're doing, what you're doing. Man, I'm a little fired up for this show, man, because we have a lot going on. I have, you hear the laugh. So we're going to bring in Chris Sanders in a little bit after we set this show up. We got the running back top five, and you kind of heard the preview last week, and you know, there was a throw the daggone towel moment that I had to put in. Fortunately, we managed to keep the show going because I was ready. I told Elijah, I was ready. Look, I was ready to pull a Coach Prime.
Walk right out of here.
I was about to walk right out of here. And you know what? We're going to get into that, too, briefly. But, yeah, man, we have a show set up. We got Larrell Murchison, Tennessee Titans defensive lineman coming on. I'm excited about that, man. We have Dr. Amesh Adalja out of Johns Hopkins University Medical Center. He is one of the senior correspondents there, and his rap sheet is long. He has a long resume, so I can't wait to talk to him about some of this stuff with the teams being over and under 70%, so we'll get into that. But, you know, first things first, actually – yeah, first things first, we'll go ahead and do it. You know what I mean? I was going to say throw the towel. Just start off with that. But let's go. Let me get that music.
DMT. For you. Mm-hmm. Fresh.
I could just picture the guy with the curly afro playing the guitar.
That's right.
As you hear the music, you know what it is, man. Obviously, I'm in a fun mood, so this segment is going to be even more fun than it normally is. But we got to get that intro, too. So let's go ahead and get it going. And now, for your Philadelphia 76ers, at point guard, number 4, Clint Richardson.
All right. And starting for the Houston Rockets.
Amen.
Ralph Sampson.
Yo, hold up, man. I'm going to tell you a funny story. I got a whooping because of Ralph Sampson, man.
You lying, man.
I'm
what kind of looking like, man?
Hey, no, nah, look, man. I'm going to tell you what happened, right? My pops had the Ralph Sampson Pumas.
The Pumas, wow.
I wanted to be cool. I snuck in the room, put a little chair up, up in the top of the closet, grabbed the box, put the Ralph Sampson Pumas on with my tie one sweatsuit, thinking I was cool. Came home. He was home earlier than normal. Warmed my butt up for wearing his sneaks.
I'm just glad you didn't put on the little shorts, man. How you going to be 7'5 with little shorts?
Yo.
And that little afro. Come on, man.
That's terrible. And he had the Fu Manchu. Yeah, man, I'm doing well, man. You know, cracking jokes, dropping knowledge. Yeah. This is what we do. Hey, I got a question for you, though.
Sure.
I'm really curious to get your thoughts about this because I know everybody, and I joked about it in the intro, right, about Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. Coach Sanders, Coach Prime, Coach Deion. I joked about him walking out of that press conference. But what are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, I'll give you mine. I'll just give you mine, and then you disagree, great. If not, hey, we'll keep it moving. But for me, he jokingly stopped the guy, and then he let him know another time, like, look man, you know, address me as coach. And the dude said it a third time, and I don't know. He had the look of a kid that was like, you know what, dad, or no, I don't want to make it like that. He had the look of a kid that was like, you know what, I know you told me not to run in the street, but I'm running in the street anyway. Like, he had that mischievous, disrespectful look on his face. Now, I could be being sensitive. I don't know. But me personally, you know, having grown up around sports, and even with Coach Vrabel, right?
Right.
I always say, Coach, even with Coach Arthur Smith, right? I always say, Coach Art, Coach Rob Moore. Coach Rob, right. You know what I mean? I always say that because growing up around sports, I was just taught to address a coach as coach. I mean, you go to the hospital, you don't say, hey, like when I bring in Dr. Amesh Adalja, I'm not going to say, hey, Amesh. I'm going to say Dr. Amesh or Dr. Adalja.
Right.
I don't know. I'm on a little bit of a rant because it did bother me. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, I mean, just look at the society overall. I mean, I think sometimes we don't respect a person's position, don't respect their authority, and that's what's wrong with our society right now. I mean, I coach football, and I'm almost 50 years old. There's no way in heck that I'm going to let a kid call me Chris, because that's just very disrespectful. That's very, if he calls me Coach Chris, that's respecting the position. And I think that, you know, with Deion Sanders, he was very upset. I mean, he was hot, man. I mean, if you remember back in the day when he had that Jerry curl, it would have caught on fire. I mean,
it would have caught fire.
It would have caught on fire. It was used up. But it's just that we gotta respect each other. I mean, just like, okay, just imagine if Obama came in or his wife came in, you know, say, hey, what's going on? Oh, you my dog, Obama. You respect his position, or you respect the president's position, or you respect the first lady, because you respect their position. And I think sometimes we get away from that in society, that we think that we can just call anybody by their name if you don't give them their due respect.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I have, and it, here's something interesting, right?
Right.
I'll give you two examples. Coach Pat Hines, right? Coach PJ is what I call him. He was the offensive line coach when I was at Cheney University, and I still to this day when we interact, I be like, Coach P, what's up, man? You know what I'm saying? And now, like to this day, like he obviously never was my position coach, but he just was someone that was a coach, an authority, right? You know what I mean? And then my offensive coordinator, I still to this day, Coach Orr, Coach O, what's up, man?
Right.
You know what I mean? Even he could reach out to me about anything. Hey, what's up, Coach? Boom. It's just something that it's a respect thing. I think it's just respecting the grind that went into getting to that position and just respecting the authority that comes with it. So,
but just imagine you're in your home, right? You got your mom and your dad there. You ain't going to walk in. My mom's name is Rose and my dad's name is Jake. If I walk in the house and say, what's up, Jake?
Right.
Rose.
Right.
There's going to be two shoes that's going to be directed right in my nose. You know what I'm saying? Because that we just have a generation to where we're so disrespectful. You may not like the person, you may not agree with what they do, but respect the position. I mean, it's kind of like, I'm not being political or anything, but I don't care who's in the White House. I may not like what they do or might not agree with every policy that they come up with, but I'm still going to respect the position. Why? Because he's our president, regardless of who's in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's really that simple. And I just wanted to pick your brain about that.
No, that's good stuff, man. That's
it's interesting to me because there's two different approaches. You know, and one, like, based off if you grew up in sports, you completely understand what Coach Prime was saying. If you didn't, then, but it is what it is. I think we got something else to talk about, though, and that's kind of carrying over from last week with this running back list. And
you're going to trip on this one, boss.
Dadgum. All right, look, let's just go ahead and get it started because, I'm just, like, I'm flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted. So we'll start. We'll go from 5 to 1 because it just isn't going to work any other way for me. So let's go ahead.
Okay, before we start, remember that song called Friends?
Yeah.
Okay, are we still friends? That's all I'm asking.
Hey, listen. Remember that song called Freaks Come Out at Night? That doesn't apply to Derrick Henry because he's a freak and he comes out all the time.
No doubt.
So we might be able to be friends. We might be able to
change it
up
a little bit. You might be a little happy.
Okay, let's go.
Let me start with number 5. I was kind of torn with number 5. There's two names that come to mind. Josh Jacobs from the Raiders and Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that I went with, and I didn't just go by numbers, but just looking at just who's the better back, who's powerful, and who can make the home run. Both of those guys can, but I'm going with Jonathan Taylor for the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm.
I mean, last year he had 1,169 yards, a guy that came on strong. We know he started off slow at the beginning of the season, but once he got the starting role, he just took it to a whole different level. So just imagine him taking it to a whole different level, and then coming up this year, he's going to be a major factor in that Indianapolis Colts offense.
That's a great mention. Absolutely a great mention. And he's someone that I man, that dude is a horse. Ooh, he's a horse, man. 4'3"?
So,
yeah, 4'3 at 225. Yeah, hot dog. Man. Let's talk about it. And I like that selection. I really do. I like that at number five. For me, it might be a little premature, but it's mm-hmm. a good pick. This next selection that I'm going to make, you know, Elijah might play throw the towel. So I'm just letting him know so he can have it queued just in case. But, I mean, look, it is what it is. I firmly feel that, you know, this guy's a top five back, but he's not in the upper part of it like others may see him. But I'm going with Alvin Kamara at number five.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Are you serious?
I am going with him at number five.
You said number five.
Number five. I have four guys that I absolutely like better than him.
And I'm sick.
And to me, Alvin Kamara is the ideal guy in a dual backfield setting. I think that's what
agree.
And these other guys, they're just horses. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
for me, these other guys are every bit as good runners. One of them is as good of a receiver. The other one is a much better runner. And the other one, when it comes to pass pro,
I ain't seen nothing
as good as him since Frank Gore. So, yeah, I'm gonna put Alvin Kamara at number five for me. And, yeah, I know you want to throw the towel, but let's go to number four.
Well, okay, I struggle with this again. I mean, I love this player, and I'm not even a Cleveland Brown fan.
Mm.
But I'm actually going to go with number four, Nick Chubb. 1,065 yards, and just a dog, man. I mean, you see what he did to the Tennessee Titans last year when he catched the ball, not just running the ball, you know, between the A and B gap, but also catching little screens and taking them the distance. You saw what he did with the Tennessee Titans. So I had to pick him. And I think he's a great overall back. He can catch the ball and also be physical, you know, in between the gaps. So that's my number four pick.
Yeah. No, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. But that is another guy that I don't have in my list.
There you go. What are we doing?
Number four for me. And I have my number four, but he's one of my two or three favorite backs in the league. I just have to keep him here at four because there's still more to see from him. And look. You mentioned what Nick Chubb did to the Titans. Well, how about what Dalvin Cook did to the Titans? I mean, dadgum.
Yeah, he's a man.
Hey, listen, they run that stretch play, and he gets to that alley. Woo! Curtains. So Dalvin Cook, for me, is number four, and he is a pretty solid catcher of the football as well out of the backfield. You can put him in the slot, and he'll work for you there as well. The only thing that knocked him down a little bit for me was just the injury factor.
Yeah,
but I think Dalvin Cook is an absolute. He's a dog. He definitely is a dog. He's someone that like I said, I got him at number four. Who you got at three?
No, hold on. Let me talk a little bit about Cook again.
Okay.
You know what I love about him, man, and everything you said is 100% right. But he's a physical runner.
Yeah.
You remember
that size?
Yes. And when he got around the corner, did the Tennessee Titans want to tackle him?
Nope.
Absolutely not. So I mean, that's a great pick. But guess what? My number three pick is.
Who's that?
Alvin Cook.
So we're right there in a similar ballpark.
Yeah. We're in the same vicinity, but just like what we talked about, man, physical runner, a guy that can hit the A and B gap, hit it hard and cut on a dime, man. For him to be that size, I mean, that cat cuts on a dime, and he cuts and doesn't have to chop. He cuts with speed.
Yep.
And a lot of backs are – there's a couple of backs that can do that, but when you cut with speed and then you're coming downhill and you're running through somebody's lips – that makes Devin Cook the third best back in the league.
Yeah, I got him at four, but hey, look, man, my third best back, and he's a name that just kind of like has fallen off some, but look, man, I don't have a short-term memory. I got the memory of an elephant, and I'm going to say his name because he's relevant, and that's Ezekiel Elliott, man. And
When I said
before we got into this list, when I said the best at pass pro that I've seen since Frank Gore, who I personally think – is the best pass pro running back ever. I firmly believe that. But Frank Gore, you know, is getting old in age. I can't put him in this list. But Ezekiel Elliott, he gives that. But then at the same time, he is that guy that could catch the ball. You've seen him give him that angle route, right, the Texas combo. And then you see him catching on screens. You talk about somebody that's tough. He'll lower that shoulder if he has to, or he'll jump over you. I just need him to, you know what I mean? This ain't the 1980s, you know, 1990s, man. Tuck your jersey into your uniform. That half shirt, I'm not with that.
We did that at Ohio State because, you know, we went to the same school. But, you know, just the one thing that I'm struggling with by putting him on my list is, he's a physical runner. Yeah, he can catch the ball out the field. But sometimes in the big, big games, he doesn't really show up. He doesn't show up. And I hate to say that to where when the game's on the line, you know, sometimes he's not there. And sometimes when, you know, he gets out there, you just don't – you don't see him. You make those 10, 11-yard runs, but I want to see him take over a game.
I think he can consistently wear down a team. I mean, I get what you're saying in some big games. You know, the thing that's so crazy is there haven't really been that many big games this Cowboys team has been in. But, in the one or two, I could see that. And I think he's a top five definite, but he's in my top three. And that's he's my number three back.
Let me go on. So we're going to number two, right?
Oh no! You gotta give number three. Gave Cook. You gave Cook. Yeah, Dalvin gave Cook. Number three. All right, here we go.
I am going with my number two back is Derrick Henry, and the reason why I'm going with Derrick Henry, man, great back, physical back, run through your face, run through your lips, take over game breaker, all those things. He checks all the box.
Hey, man. But
he checks everything. He checks everything. But the only thing that concerns me. It's just that when on third down, he comes out of the game. I mean, that's the only thing that kept me from keeping him number one back. Everything that we talked about, physical, taking over games, game breaker, just like what we did a couple of years against Baltimore when it's overtime. He runs the ball and wins the game for the Tennessee Titans. But on third down, when it's money down, he's on the sidelines. That's why I have to put him in number two. Yes, he got 2,000. Yes, he's a special back. Yes, he's a special. All this stuff that he is. But I had to put my dog at number two, man.
You lucky I didn't have the other quote queued up.
I know.
Stop the fight. That's all I was thinking the whole time. Like you talking, you were like the parents in Peanuts, and I kept hearing was "Stop the fight!" That's all I kept hearing, man. But okay, I'm not going to respond to that yet. I'll do it in a moment. My number two, listen, man. I need respect to be put on this man's name just because he got hurt. That doesn't mean that he's not one of the best running backs.
Yes, he is. I know who you're going with.
Look, I may even after 2019 season, may even have had him at number. No, I ain't may even. I would have had him at number one. Mm. And that's Christian McCaffrey.
I agree with you 1,000%. Look,
you talk about running that A and B gap. He could do that. No doubt. He gets to the outside. You know what I love about him though? That dude specializes in 50-plus yard runs.
Yep,
As soon as he gets to that second level or even into the open field, that's all you – like, he cocked that head back, and you see the drone going like a chicken, you know what I'm saying? And he just be gone. I'll be like, yo, little white lightning getting it, man. He's getting it. And he had 1,000 yards receiving. So, we're talking about that Marshall Faulk, Roger Craig type stuff, you know, 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving.
Okay.
That's my number two.
Okay, now check this out, man. You tripping. You really tripping.
Nope.
So why wouldn't you put Kamara in number one and number two when he's just as good as McCaffrey when he's doing the exact same thing?
Kamara's not as good of a runner as McCaffrey. Stop that.
I'm just saying
Stop that.
Boy, are you kidding me? Kamara's a beast now. But you know, going back to McCaffrey, man, everybody talks about his size. But, man, he's a physical runner now.
Right.
He is physical. He's physical. He's got finesse. He's got quick feet. You can split him. You can split him out and be a slot receiver, catch a little choice routes, and take it to the distance. I agree with you. He's a special player, man. And we always talk about a back being a complete back. He's a complete back.
Yep.
He can run through the A and B gap. He can catch the ball. I mean, if we want to put him at punt return or kickoff return, he can do all those things because he's that kind of special player. And I think the knock on him sometimes, he's not big enough. He's hurt. I don't care nothing about that. He's a flat-out dog.
Yeah, and if you look, right, had before this injury last year, right? In 2019, yeah. That man had 287 carries. You know what I'm saying? And 116 receptions, right? You look in 2018, he had 219 carries, 107 receptions. That dude touches the football. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's really what it comes down to for me. Yeah, there's durable. But you're talking about in 2019, darn near 400 touches. Mm. Almost 400 touches.
That's a lot, man.
You know, so that's for me, the durability is there. What happened last year, that could happen to anybody. It's not like, you know. So I definitely think he's there. But look, man, let's go ahead and get to it. You already know who the number one back in the league is, man. And that's Derrick Henry. And I understand third downs, he may come out. Select third downs. I want to make sure that's stated because you also get him on third and short. And if it's third and short, you already know what's happening. They're putting the whole city in the box, and he's still going to get that third and short. And in many cases, because of how well they blocked that thing up front, shout out Nate Davis. you know what I mean? He's going to get a long run on third and short, sometimes on fourth and short. And let's not mention what he does on fourth downs. There is no back that's better in the league at converting fourth and shorts or even fourth and goal. He has it was some stupid number. I would have to look up in ESPN stats and info. I should have that. Shame on me for not doing it. But that dude he's the number one back in the league for me, and I get it. I mean, I've seen this man try to run routes, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. Like I've seen him
6'12" and try to run a choice route.
Hey, you know what I mean? Because he got legs like he's 6'12".
His hips is real high. He can grab his wallet, you know, out of his pocket.
Man, his hip pad. If he wore hip pads, they'd be basically the same level as his shoulder pads. You know, they're up there, and it is what it is. But he's the truth when it comes to running the football. And I haven't seen a back in a long time that DBs actually, or not even DBs, defenders. Yeah. Period. They'd be like, man, I don't know about this. You know what I mean? As they're running up on him. I don't know about this. And that's why they go up high.
I mean, I agree with you. And just watching him run, I mean, he's a physical run. He's going to run through somebody's lips. But just like the reason why I didn't get him and have him in number one is because when they played the Baltimore Ravens last year in the playoffs, when they shut him down, he was on the sidelines quite a bit. Why? Because the Tennessee Titans have to pass the ball. But the reason why I have Kamara at number one is because even though they may shut him down in the running game, he still can be productive in the passing game. Last year he had 932 yards, but also he had 83 catches. So he's never coming off the field. He's consistently making plays. And if you look at that Saints offense, the offense runs through him. It runs through him just like Henry. So I know you picked Henry and I picked Kamara. Those are not two bad picks. Those are two great picks for their team, the Saints and the Tennessee Titans.
I think that's an excellent way to sum it up. It's just stylistically, you know what I mean? You want to drive on the dirt road? Hey, look, man, Nissan Titan, right? You want to go on the strip, right? And ride it out. Aston Martin Vanquish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Vantage,
yeah, no
you know. Listen, let me tell you something about that. By the way, Aston Martin, I know you guys listen. I need that Hunter Green with the baseball glove letter. You know what I mean on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, just hook your boy up. Listen. Chris will pay for it.
That'd be a negative. I'll give it to y'all in quarters and pennies. Have a big old bag of pennies.
Look, Elijah said it's over. Stop the fight! Hey, folks, I told you I was in a funny mood, so we're going to have fun today. And you hear JoJo from Jodeci on the other end.
Oh, wow. There you go.
You hear him singing, you know, and it is what it is.
You look like Bobby McFerrin, no quiet as kept.
Le-le-le-le-le, ocean spray. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Elijah Molden. I'm talking with TD. Nobody beats the beat.
Nobody beat the Bears.
Nobody.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Have to use that music because the great Biz Markie, rest in peace. He passed away recently and one of my favorite artists. So each bump is going to have a little bit of Biz Markie. But let's get back down to business. And this is a great opportunity to get some insight from someone who is right there in the mix and really has excellent insight in regards to what's going on with COVID. And that is Dr. Amish Adalja. He is from Johns Hopkins University. Doc, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. And you have an extensive list of accomplishments and things that you're doing. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you summarize that so my listeners will know that the knowledge that's about to be dropped is coming from a very well-sourced gentleman.
Sure. So my name is Amish Adalja. I'm a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, which is a think tank that works on infectious disease emergencies, pandemic preparedness, the intersection of infectious disease and national security. And I'm also a practicing infectious disease critical care and emergency medicine physician. So I've been taking care of patients throughout the pandemic, as well as interfacing kind of at the policy level on COVID policy and doing a lot of public speaking, media to try and communicate information about this virus and the trajectory of the pandemic.
So as this pertains to the NFL, this is a Titans show and the Titans are a part of the NFL. When you see that there are 10 teams with the player vaccination rates above 85%, and we're at a point where within 1 week camps are going to be started throughout the country. What is your thought process? What do you think when you see that it's only 10 out of, 32?
It's not a good situation because we know that in the United States we are being faced with the Delta variant, which is more contagious, and it's something that loves to spread among unvaccinated individuals. And the higher an NFL team's vaccination rate is, the more resilient they're going to be to COVID-19, because in the community there's a lot of COVID-19 still out there. There are tens of thousands of cases occurring every day, and the best protection from the virus is to be vaccinated. We know that right now we're in a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and NFL teams, I think, disruptions from COVID-19, the best way to do it is to have 100% vaccination if they can.
Yeah, and it's just really interesting that they're not at this rate. It's a little confusing, but when you see a player come out, like take, I don't know, Cole Beasley, for example, how would you address if you had a conversation with him? And this is a gentleman who says, well, you know, I could drink more water, I could eat better and work out, and that will help me. Is that really something that can be looked at as a deterrent from getting the virus?
No, it's not a deterrent from getting the virus. The only deterrent from getting the virus is to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, being in good physical shape is going to make it less likely that you have a severe case, that you've got a lot of good physiology going, but that's not enough to prevent you from getting infected. It's not enough from you having to be you to be self-isolated and your contacts who are not vaccinated to be quarantined. So I think that what we know is that the vaccine is the best way to prevent COVID-19 from impacting your life.
And when you see some of the protocols that are in place for those who aren't vaccinated, daily testing, you have to wear a mask when you're within the building. You can't eat in the cafeteria with other players. But when you're vaccinated, you don't have to go through the whole close contact tracing or anything like that if there should be a player that tests positive. Why such a big difference? I mean, is that really something that is necessary just to have one set of rules for one side and one set of rules for the other?
It definitely is necessary because if you're vaccinated, the virus is going to treat you very differently than an unvaccinated person.
Okay.
You're no longer a threat to others. Others are no longer a threat to you. So you get treated differently by the virus, so other people should treat you differently too.
But then the part about no close contact. So let's say the Titans, for example, let's say they have a player that is tested positive and he's a running back, and one of the other running backs is vaccinated. why is that they don't have to do the close contact? Because in some cases, the vaccine may not stop the virus from spreading.
Well, no vaccine is 100%.
Right.
But what you're talking about are called breakthrough infections. And what breakthrough infections, first of all, are extremely rare. And when they do occur, they're really clinically meaningless, meaning they're often people that don't have any symptoms or have mild symptoms, and they're not something that's really associated with contagiousness. So we know from real-world data that fully vaccinated individuals really have nothing to fear from COVID-19 for the most part, especially if they're healthy. And that's what is reflected in the guidance, that you can do a lot more safely if you're a fully vaccinated individual, where you don't have to go through testing, you don't have to go through contact tracing if you're exposed. All of that is based on the high level of effectiveness of these vaccines, and it's hundreds of millions of doses around the world that undergird that type of recommendation, that when you're fully vaccinated, don't worry about COVID-19, because your body's able to handle it based on the antibodies and T cells that got formed after you've been vaccinated.
But then what about these other variants, right? You have Delta, which, you know, obviously is something that is affecting, you know, across the nation and the globe itself. How do you handle that? Is that something that people should be concerned about? Is that a worry point, or what are your thoughts with that?
When it comes to the variants, and especially the Delta variant, which is probably the most fit version of this virus that we've seen, one that transmits pretty efficiently, it's really something that is an issue for the unvaccinated.
Okay.
If you go to a hospital right now and you look around and say, who's hospitalized? It's 99% or so unvaccinated individuals.
Hmm.
So this is, just as the CDC director, as President Biden said, a pandemic of the unvaccinated. So the variants are handled very well with our current vaccines, especially when it comes to what matters, serious disease, hospitalization, and death. And that's all we've ever wanted from the vaccines. And they're holding up strong against the variants. But the thing is, half of the United States is not vaccinated, and that half is going to remain susceptible to the Delta variant, and you're going to run into trouble in places where not enough high-risk individuals have been vaccinated, like places like Springfield, Missouri, where their hospitals are reporting stress now.
And what about the third dose or a booster? In some cases, that has been deemed necessary. I saw you had some comments in regards to that. Can you share those with the listeners?
Sure. So right now, I think it's premature to talk about needing a booster vaccine. For me, the threshold to pull the trigger on a booster is you've got fully vaccinated individuals who get breakthrough infections that are severe enough to land them in the hospital. And that's just not happening at a high enough rate to justify a booster vaccine. Our vaccines are holding up fairly well right now. I think there's no issue. Like I said, if you go in the hospital, it's unvaccinated individuals that make up the vast, vast majority of the people being hospitalized. So I don't think in the near term, for the average healthy person, there's going to be a need for a booster. I think it's important to study boosters. I think it's important for the FDA to have a quick pathway if we need a booster. But in the short run, for the average person, I don't think this is going to be something that we see.
And then a lot of listeners, you know, they'll say, well, hey, listen, this is a vaccine. Like, this is something that it hasn't been a long-term study or anything like that. For the vaccine, why should they trust it? How do you answer that question? Because I think that's important for people to know.
Well, it is true that these vaccines were developed very quickly, but we've had a lot of data and time to work with the technology used, so we know what their side effect profile has been. And most of the serious side effects occur in the first few months, and we've put literally hundreds of millions of doses into people's arms all around the world, and there has not been any major safety signal that concerns me. And we are studying these people. We've got a lot of different safety protocols in place so that people can report side effects and they get run down to see, is this related to the vaccine or not? And really, there's nothing that has changed or shaken my confidence in these vaccines. They seem to be extremely safe, extremely effective, probably the most effective vaccines that humans have ever developed. And the risk-benefit ratio, meaning the risk calculation you take, strongly favors the vaccine, especially, as I said, with 30,000 cases or so occurring in the United States every day, hundreds of deaths occurring every day, and this more rapidly spreading variant that's around. I think the vaccines really come out on top. And again, all that safety stuff is being monitored extensively, and nothing really has shaken my confidence or anyone's in my field's confidence in these vaccines.
And Dr. Dowser, I know you can't literally break down everything that, that's in the vaccine, but you know, there's information that's just all over the place and different things that are shared that, that may or may not be true. In essence, what is the vaccine and what makes it so effective?
Well, we've got three different vaccines available in the United States. Two of them are pretty much interchangeable, and that's the Pfizer-BioNTech and the Moderna vaccines, which use something called messenger RNA or mRNA technology, which is basically the genetic instructions for a part of the virus called the spike protein, which is what you form your immune response against. Mm. That's basically in those vaccines, and there's some other what are called lipid or fat particles that allow it to be delivered to your cells that are part of it. There's some other, so there's some stabilizers and very routine stuff in those vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that contains another type of virus called an adenovirus. It's a common cold-causing virus that's kind of been engineered to deliver the spike protein of the coronavirus into your body. And again, it has some stabilizers and other substances in them. They're very standard, what's in them. And the main thing, the payload, is that spike, the information about the spike protein of the coronavirus, because that's what's important for forming antibodies, for forming T cells. That's what the protective factor is that the vaccine carries. So that's why they're so effective.
And you mentioned the Johnson & Johnson one. Why is that one just a one-dose vaccine as opposed to the others being two doses?
Well, Johnson & Johnson, in their clinical trials, they wanted a single-dose regimen because that would be very advantageous because it's much easier to give somebody a single dose, especially hard-to-reach populations where you might not be able to get back in. And the data from their clinical trial showed it was a safe and effective vaccine at the single-dose level. And they are studying two dose regimens. We'll see what comes from those clinical trials, but it was approved and studied as a single dose regimen because anytime you can decrease the number of doses, it increases the compliance. And that's a really huge advantage when you're trying to vaccinate the world.
And compliance is a huge thing. And I know, so a lot of these teams, right? The NFL teams, they're there, close to impoverished communities, right? And underprivileged communities. And a lot of the people in these communities, they really are very, very questionable about this vaccine. So as an authority on this, how would you deliver the message to them, these people in specific, how would you deliver the message to them that the vaccine needs to be had and that they need to trust? Because I know I asked you earlier about just in general, but I'm talking in this specific where you have, you know, let's be honest, right, that a lot of the black community does not trust this vaccine. So how do you go to them and really deliver the message, hey, this has to be done?
What I would do is really highlight the fact that this is a vaccine that's being given all around the world, these vaccines. Hundreds of millions of people have gotten the vaccine. The safety is being monitored really extensively. Look at what percentage of doctors in the United States have been vaccinated, 96% of us or so. That's the confidence that doctors have in this vaccine. Mm-hmm. We're not asking people to do something that we ourselves aren't doing as doctors. I also would try to address whatever it is that each individual person has that's holding them back from getting vaccinated. We talk about vaccine hesitancy like it's just one thing, but there are many different reasons that somebody might have. They may say, we're waiting for full FDA approval. I heard this anecdote about somebody's uncle. Somebody said this, and you can try and address those questions. You can also, some people may also say, you know, they read this on Facebook and it's completely, and it might be something completely wrong. So you can try and explain to them that. So you really have to one-on-one meet with people and really address their concerns. It's better when it's done by a trusted authority, maybe a primary care physician or a community health leader or a community leader. That usually is what drives people to get vaccinated that have been hesitant. But it's very difficult now because there are some people that are really that are really kind of dug in their heels on this. But the thing is, if you're not vaccinated, you're susceptible to getting infected with this virus, and it's not something you want to do because it can be avoided with a simple vaccine.
And then just to spin it back to the NFL locker room. So you have different coaches who may be a bit older, right? You look at the Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, he's up there in age. And you look at like this Titans team, they have some coaches who are up there in age. So you definitely want to make sure that A, they're vaccinated, but also B, that they're not impacted by an outbreak. There was an outbreak here in the Titans facility last year. So how is that avoided? And what would you say I know it's kind of like shooting in the dark because you don't know the percentage of those who are vaccinated, but what would you say that like the likelihood would be of this type of situation repeating itself after last year?
It's unquestionable that there are some NFL teams that there's not enough vaccination levels amongst their players, that they're going to see some disruption from COVID. There are going to be cases that impact play. The more vaccinated your team is, the less likely you are to have any locker room outbreaks or any disruption. So I would urge the NFL players that haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated. And I would urge the NFL owners to really push to get to 100%, even if it means mandating the vaccine as a condition of participation or playing, because this is going to be something that will disrupt your season. This is going to be something that is going to cause people to get sick. And we have a simple solution, a vaccine. And I think we really have to take this seriously. If we want to get ourselves back to a pre-pandemic world, we have to embrace the technology that allows us to do that. And that is the safe and effective vaccines that are widely available.
And then lastly, as I mentioned, you have some of the coaches or some of the personnel folks that they are a bit older. Should there be a different set of gloves for them, even if they are vaccinated, or can you just kind of bump them in with the same week bi-weekly testing that those who are vaccinated are going through?
Well, if you're fully vaccinated, I think we can really refrain from testing people who don't have any symptoms. That's what the CDC guidance says, that we don't need to test if people are fully vaccinated and have no symptoms. Obviously, I think some of the major league sports are not following that guidance. They're testing a lot more extensively. If you're older, I think if you're fully vaccinated, you have that same freedom. Obviously, we have some differences. If you're an immunocompromised person who maybe had an organ transplant or something like that, you might have a little bit more cautiousness with that person. But for an older person who's fully vaccinated, who doesn't have any immunosuppressing conditions, I think in general they can be handled just like anybody else that's fully vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, I think it's going to be important for the NFL and the teams to really make sure that they're not inadvertently bringing in COVID-19 into the locker room, onto the playing field. And the way you do that is with testing and really persuading that unvaccinated group to get vaccinated.
That is awesome content. I thank you an awful lot, Dr. Adalja. Before we get you out of here, where can people go to keep up with the knowledge that you're dropping and the different ways that you're helping everyone become more aware and understanding of the vaccine and other things, because you do more than just the vaccine?
The easiest place is to find me on Twitter. It's my handle is @AmishAA, so AmishAA.
There you have it. Dr. Adalja, I appreciate you, and definitely keep up the great work. I know Johns Hopkins is a great, great organization, a great, great college itself as well. And just I appreciate everything that you have done for us today and what you continue to do.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
I could let that play for this whole segment if need be. That's Make the Music with Your Mouth, Biz. Biz Markie, rest in peace. He's a little bit before my next guest time, but my next guest, I know he likes music, and that's Tennessee Titans defensive lineman Larrell Murchison. Big Merch, what you know about Biz Markie, man?
Man, my dad's favorite song is called Pickin' Boogers by Biz Markie, so I know a little bit.
he said just last night when Kane was getting ready, I slipped a little green one inside of spaghetti, Pickin' Boogers. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I know about that. I'll give you some bars, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a couple of them, huh?
Yeah, just a few, man. But what's going on, man? I appreciate you coming on. What's going on in the world of Big Merch right now?
Right now, just you know, getting ready and get prepared for training camp, and you know, looking to, you know, carve out a role on the team, and you know, I'm just ready to go, getting ready to go.
A part of that preparation, I want to get right into it, because I know what you're doing. You're down there working with Chuck Smith. You know, that's the pass rush specialist, Dr. Getoff, all of that good stuff, man. So I saw that you and Marcus Golden were getting it in. Marcus Golden is one of my favorite edge guys. So what's going on down there? How is that training coming along? What are some things that you're pulling out of it?
Oh, it's definitely it's different, man. I had a great time here. He's showing me moves that I never used. Like my first day here, like it was a move that he taught me that, you know, I felt so weird doing it, but now I think I got the hang of it. But you know, I'm learning a lot as I've spent my last 2 weeks here.
Did he tell you about the move that he and Von Miller developed? It was the ghost something. I forget what it is, but
the ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ghost. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be in your repertoire.
So we're working on that one.
Okay.
If I can get that down, man.
Yeah. Lights out, no doubt. Well, what about the vision? Because I know that's something that he really stresses, just the way that you have to play that position with your eyes.
Yeah, that's what we start with every day, like vision get offs and stuff like that. So yeah, that's definitely something he preaches day in and day out, for sure.
And then to spin it back to what you did in OTAs and minicamp and those type of things, I asked actually Coach Terrell Williams about you, and obviously there wasn't much that you guys could do without having the pads on, but he did say that he was very complimentary of the technique that you're learning and how you did in those drills. What was that experience like this second go round? Actually, not really a second go round because last year was virtual. So being able to get in there in the trenches and actually work on technique as opposed to the physical contact part of it, how much has that helped you?
It's helped me a lot. You know, being around my teammates, being around Coach, getting some pointers on things that you can improve on, in the off season. You know, just like you said, last off season we were on the computer, so we couldn't do much. But so just being in the building and being able to get coached up on those things, it was great.
What are some of the things that you've actually gotten to pull from Coach Williams that you may not have seen before in your path up to the league?
A couple of different things because college is different.
Right.
College you can run around and play with effort, but it's just a lot different. You can't get away with things that you got away with in college in the league, and that's just something he's installed in me and just let me know, just trying to improve inch by inch.
So it's more of a focus on the importance of technique. Is that how you would summarize it?
Yeah, just focus on every little thing is important.
And then you got Coach KU coming into the mix, too. He's been there and done that before. What are your early impressions of him?
Oh, yeah, I like KU, man. Any question I need answered, if I can't get Coach T or anything, I feel comfortable talking to him. And, I like KU.
Yeah, no doubt. And I see him out there, football on the stick, man, and you guys getting off and shooting under. I don't know what that structure is, but to keep you guys low, all that stuff. I love coming over there and recording that, man, because you guys are putting in the work. But you look at last year, right? And obviously there was some adversity last year, whether it be injury or not being as deep in the rotation as you would like. How did you handle that? Like what was kind of like the sticking point for you to just continue to just keep chopping wood?
I mean, like based on like, it was just like, okay, I'm a rookie, so, it's still a lot of stuff I got to learn. I just got to take each week and, learn off that, learn from that week, take each practice and learn. It was just a lot to learn. I realized, I'm a rookie, so I really just need to take everything that these older guys are, doing in front of me and show, everything they're doing, I need to copy it and I need to, learn and just learn and get accustomed to things. So that's how I looked at it.
It seems like you just basically took it in stride. So I want to ask you this, because one of the things that I always like to look at is adversity that I've been through before makes me able to go through any adversity that I'm going to face or I'm facing at the time. So obviously with you, Pharrell, he had, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer in 2018. How much did that just make it like, nothing else you put in front of me is going to be a major challenge. It's something I'll just bust through.
I mean, yeah, that was huge because, like I said before, that's a major life accomplishment that he had to go through, with chemo and different situations he had to be in while he was sick. And with him going through that, I'm like, man, anything I have to go through is really small, and I know I can get through it. I know I can get through any type of adversity because his life was on the line. He was fighting cancer. So, he was able to get through that. So, I can do it.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Larrell Murchison, defensive lineman for the Tennessee Titans. And then let's get into your mother's shop, man, Just Desserts and lunch. What's if someone's in North Carolina in Elizabethtown, What's on the menu, man? What's a must get?
Soul food. So if you're going to eat like you want to, you know, you're not watching your diet, you want to go with the fried pork chop. You want to get rice and gravy. You want to get broccoli casserole. And you want to get macaroni and cheese.
But what if
you don't want to do the two cheeses, you could do the homemade style yams and the macaroni and cheese.
But what about some of us who say there's no pork on my fork, man?
No pork on the fork, then you get some fried chicken.
No doubt, man. How about Fun Day? I know you had the community day, man. Community Fun Day, that was huge. And you know, looking at some of the posts that you have, it was a great event. Can you tell me a little bit about that and just why you wanted to have such an event?
Oh yeah, it turned out great. You know, it was like 500 kids out there, man. It was awesome. And I definitely want to do it because, like, in my community, you know, it's a small town. We had one other NFL player to make it out, Desmond Bryant, and he came and did a camp every year. But, you know, I just wanted to come in and do something just a little bit different, you know, just like a fun day just for boys and girls so they can come out there and have something to do, you know, and get out the house and, you know, meet some NFL players and just to show them and give them inspiration that, you know, it don't matter where you come from, you can make it out of there.
Who were some of the guys that you had there? I know your teammate T.R. Tart was there. Who else did you have?
I had Kobe Smith with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, DJ Wanham for the Minnesota Vikings, and I had Aleem McNeil. He just got drafted to the Detroit Lions.
Nice, nice. And what would you say was like the biggest reward for that? Because I've done those camps, man, and I know my things, but for you personally, going through that, what was the biggest reward or the biggest feel-good opportunity that you had through that?
Just seeing the kids, like, everybody was smiling, you know, like, everybody. And just seeing their faces after, like, days after the event and, you know, messages I got from the kids, like, thank you so much. I'll never forget that. Like, we had a lot of fun. Like, just seeing they had fun and seeing the parents that enjoyed it also, you know, it was amazing. That was the award from it for me.
And we're talking to Larrell Murchison, Tennessee Titans defensive lineman. I kind of stuttered with defensive linemen because I've seen you play multiple techniques. Obviously, your teammate T.R. Tart, you know, he's someone, he'll play a lot of zero. But for you, as far as your role, just settling into that rotation, what is it about you that allows you to be able to play the multiple techniques that you do?
I just say it's just like, you know, just, I guess you could just say, just me being able to use what I have, you know, what I was born with, God gave me. So, you know, I'm not 330 pounds. I'm not, you know, real big, not 6'6", you know. But, you know, I'm going to try my best. And to my best ability, I'm going to use what I got. So that's what I say. I could do that.
And then the big move, obviously, Bud Dupree. But, you know, more specifically to your position, DeNico Autry was signed. I talked to Jeffrey Simmons, and he said that he was able to learn some things already from Autry. How about you? I would imagine you have as well. Has he been someone that just, you know, you could just go to, hey, man, in this situation, what do you do, or any of those type of things?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a great person to talk to and a great veteran leader to look at for sure. Like, he has no problem, you know, answering any question that you may have on the field or off the field.
So what's next for you? I mean, where do you see yourself as far as this year is concerned? Or what are your big goals? Obviously, team-wise, there's a lot of goals. But for you, you know, being a contributor to that team goal, what are some of your aspirations here?
My aspiration, biggest one for me, is just finding that role and being the best at it that I can. You know, just getting that role, just getting into that role and doing what I got to do to help the team, like, the best I can. Like, that's my biggest aspiration.
Well, hey, listen, man, you played a little running back in high school, right? 7 yards per carry. I don't know if you remember Refrigerator Perry, but, you know, he got some carries as a big dog in the backfield. You talking to Todd Downing about that?
Nah. Nah, man. My running back days may be over, man.
Hey, listen, if the Fridge could do it, you could do it, man. You better watch that Super Bowl, the Bears and Patriots, 1985, man. Refrigerator Perry, he had a rushing touchdown Walter Payton, the great Walter Payton, didn't, man. It's crazy.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, no doubt. So what about Coach Vrabel? I always like to ask you guys about Coach Vrabel because, you know, we get our interaction with him, and he's a character with us, and I actually like Coach Vrabel a lot. But what are some of the interesting things that just as far as Coach Vrabel was concerned? Has he surprised you with anything that he said or anything along those lines?
Oh, no. Nah, you know, he's hands-on, you know, and any question that you have on the field or off the field about anything, like, he'll answer it and he'll let you know. And, you know, that's a great thing about Coach Vrabel is you can always go to him and talk to him and ask him about certain situations or, you know, what I should do here or, you know, anything like that.
One of the things that surprised me when I first got here in 2018, he and Daquan Jones, before games, you know, he'll put that pad on and Daquan was just here. He'll pop the pad, you know, and they would kind of go back and forth. Have you gotten to do that? And were you surprised if you did by like his strength, or did you have to be like, man, I don't want to knock Coach over?
No, yeah. He gonna bring it to you now.
Like, yeah,
he gonna bring it to you for sure. But that's what you want, so you can get like a real good look. So.
And then with him having been a player, you know, he's kind of been in. Well, he never played in the interior part, but he's been on the edges and played like inside linebacker, that kind of thing. But how much has him having been there and done that, right? And even Coach Williams was right there in the trenches before as well. How much, and KU as well, having this staff of guys, Coach KU, let's get that correct, having this staff of guys that have been there and done that before, how much does that just help make the message more palatable? Like, you could receive it more because they've been in that situation.
Most definitely, you know, they've been in every situation that you get put in because, you know, they, like you said, they've been out there in the trenches. So that is a big help because they've seen it before. They've seen it 100 times. So you got to believe it when it comes out of their mouth.
No doubt. Well, Larrell, I know Saturday is the day when the rookies report and select veterans. I don't know when you're reporting, but I'm sure you'll be ready to go. You bring that trainer from Chuck Smith up here. I'm looking forward to watching you guys, you know, one-on-one when they have O-line, D-line, and those type of things, man. So I appreciate you coming on. Definitely going to keep an eye on you. I've mentioned you on here multiple times. So keep that thing going, man, and make me look smart.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
All right, for sure. Take it easy.
All right.